glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Just as we all need a physical checkup, a medical checkup every 12 months or so to take care of our heart, to look at our lungs, to check out our ears, and just to have our overall physical wellness looked at, it pays to have a periodic spiritual checkup as well. And this checkup should examine our spiritual wellness in regards to the service, our service to God. We can ask ourselves, how are we doing? How's our relationship with God? How's our relationship with each other? What are we doing well, and what do we still need to work on? So just like our physical checkup, there's many things for us to investigate in regards to our spiritual well-being. One major aspect that I'm going to look at today for our wellness is our hearing. We often hear Jesus saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This seems like a very obvious phrase to us, "He who has ears," well, we all have ears. They're all meant to hear. Let us hear. But do we really hear? During his earthly ministry, in several places, we find Jesus hearing this. If you could, or saying this, can you turn to Matthew chapter 13? Matthew 13 goes through the parable of the sower. And after that, after a while, he talks about a few other things. But in Matthew 13, verse 43, he says, "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus also uses this phrase throughout the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3 as he writes the letters to the churches of Asia. So what's the point of this phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? Well, what Jesus means is he says, this is something important. Listen to what I'm about to say. Pay attention. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, definitely something that we need to pay attention to. In Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, it says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Pay attention. "Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Whoever has, to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." This suggests a problem that exists, that often exists today in our society. Many people simply do not hear as well as they should. And this leads to spiritual misunderstandings. What I mean is that people basically have a selective hearing when it comes to God's word. They purposely close their minds when it comes to God's word and the impact that it can have in their lives, how it can play out in their lives. So today I'd like to talk about three things. The first thing, the different type of hearers that there are. Secondly, the importance of good hearing. And thirdly, suggest some tips for us for better hearing. So let's get started. Different types of hearers. The first type of hearer is someone who is hard of hearing. Isaiah wrote about such people, and Jesus in Matthew 13 applies this to many in his day. So Matthew 13, I'll look at verses 13 through 15. This is directly after the parable of the sower. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Many times people are this way because they're dull of heart. They've closed their eyes to the truth. And this prevents people from truly understanding the grace of God and being saved through it. So secondly, a second group of people, second type of spiritual hearers, are those who are dull of hearing. Those people who maybe lack interest or lack the resolve to continue in their learning of God's scriptures. Some of the Hebrew Christians were this way. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, there were people that should have been teachers at this time, but really they weren't quite there yet. So Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." When a person has this problem, it's hard for others to explain things to them. The fault's not with the subject matter, the fault's not with the presenter, whoever's talking to them, but it's with the hearer. The third type of hearer that I want to talk about, spiritual hearers, those with itching ears. I think we all know what this is about. Such people will listen only to what's pleasing to them, only what they want to hear. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I think this is interesting because it really contrasts a lot of things. They're going to bring their own teachers in. Who wants these teachers when we can have our own teachers teaching us what we want to hear? And it contrasts, it has truth on one side and fables on the other. We all know what truth is, and fables, basically made-up stories that are entertaining. We want to be entertained. We want to feel good when we leave. We want to not have to do any hard work or labor through anything. We just want to be told the good stuff that makes us feel good. And that's not what needs to be said all the time. They don't like sound doctrine, people with itching ears. And the idea with it is they don't want, I guess, the doctrine that comes through maybe like hard love or tough love. Paul tries to prepare Timothy for work with people with itching ears. In verse 2 here, he says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." Teaching and long-suffering seems to be the only cure to itching ears. And again, I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with today, and they're afflicted with this type of hearing problem. The fourth type of spiritual hearers are those with good and noble hearts. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Jesus spoke of these in the parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8, verse 15 says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground," remember the seed that was being spread fell on different types of soil, "but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." See, these people, they take in the word, and they're ready to receive it. And because their heart's ready to receive the word, they're able to actually do something with this. A plant would shoot up. They're able to bear fruit. They're able to do something with the word, not just let it hit them, but they actually let it penetrate them and become a part of them. In Acts chapter 17, we hear the Bereans. And the Bereans were hearers of this kind as well, receiving the word with readiness. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "These," the Bereans, "were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Usually we talk about how the Bereans were able to search the scriptures. They were able to search the scriptures. They were able to find these things. They were able to test them. But they also were receiving the word with readiness. And I think that's an important thing to think about, is that how ready are you to receive the message that's coming to you? Now, if you have a lot of things going on in your life, there's a lot of things going on, and you're not really able to focus on the word, how is it able to work in your life? How are you able to take it in and make it a part of where you're at and what you're going to be doing if you're distracted by too many other things? I think it has to do with preparing your heart and preparing for what's going to be said. So this kind of hearer is who we should all strive to be, those with a good and noble heart ready to receive the word. So now we've talked about the four different types of hearers, let's focus on why it is important to be a good listener. So my second point, the importance of good hearing. It's important to be a good hearer for one reason. It helps us to accept God's blessings. For those who are willing to hear properly, there are wonderful things to learn. We have the entire revelation of God in front of us. And it's kind of a miraculous thing for us to have. We look back in history, this has not always been available to everyone. This is talked about in Matthew 13, verses 16 and 17 a little bit. So Matthew 13, verses 16 and 17 says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Now, though Jesus is talking to the people of his time, he's talking to these people saying, hey, by the way, this is what everyone wanted to see. This is what people like David or Daniel wanted to see. They wanted to see the full fruition of what they were talking about. They had hints and little pieces here and there of what would be revealed. They wanted to know the whole truth. And you have it in front of you right now, sitting in your laps as you turn to different scriptures with me. These things that the great people of the Old Testament, says the prophets and the righteous men, desired, we have. And they didn't have the opportunity to learn it back then. And we miss out on learning about these blessed things if we don't listen carefully. Secondly, another reason for it's important for us to be good hearers is it helps us develop our faith. God's ordained that we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Such faith, well, where does it come from? It comes through the gospel. It's often involving hearing on our parts. Careful reading, careful instruction, careful hearing. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, there's a few verses in there that really are pinnacle. They're really the apex of what I really wanted to talk about today, and they're really kind of what inspired this talk. So Romans chapter 10, verse 14, and then I'll talk about verse 17 as well. Romans 10, 14 and 17. How then shall they call on him to whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The idea is the word of God is there and needs to be talked about. It needs to be heard by people. We talked earlier about the times that we're living in and how tough it is in these times and how we're hearing one side through the media. Well, there's another side too, and I think that calls us to be preaching, to be talking to one another about these things, to bring them up in daily conversation. If we're at lunch and there's a bad conversation going on, I think it's up to us to maybe shift that conversation to something a little bit more fruitful. That's something that we can do in part in our lives. But I think this hearing, it starts with hearing and hearing the proper things. It's part of the development of our faith. So ask yourself, does your hearing help or does it hinder your development of your faith? The third point, good hearing also aids in us bearing fruit. In the parable, the sower, the soil bearing fruit was the one which heard properly. Again, Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That's because bearing fruit comes from the understanding of God's grace. It comes from the understanding of what the gift is that God gave us. God gave us so much through the death of Jesus on the cross. Otherwise, all of our sins are held against us, and there's no way that we can have eternal rest with him in heaven. So the idea is that once we fully understand this, once we grasp it, once we come to a clear understanding of what this means for us in our lives, then we can start seeing that develop in us, and fruit is bearing, is bore. I don't know. We bear fruit because of it. I don't know how to say that. So Colossians 1:6 kind of says what I just said. Let's look at Colossians 1:6. It says, which has come to you, as is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. Basically, the idea here is by hearing well, you understand God's grace. You've learned it. You've understood it. It's become a part of who you are, and thus we're motivated to bear fruit. That's probably what I was trying to say earlier and got jumbled up. So, the fourth point, being a good listener also helps to prevent apostasy. Randy's always really good about saying it inoculates against apostasy. Apostasy, if I can say it, means drifting away. And there's a real danger of drifting when we neglect so great a salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 talks about this. So Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, the first three verses. It says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away," the apostasy. "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, if we got what we deserved, how should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard it?" Basically, the idea here is that if we got what we had coming to us, if we got what we deserved, and we ignore God's plan of our salvation through Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? What are we left with? What do we do? The only solution is to give earnest heed to the things that you've heard, to give earnest heed to the ideas, this book that sits in front of you, to read it, to hear it, to spread the word, and to take it in. Poor hearing is often the first step to apostasy. I had a few other points, but I really want to skip them right now just based on time. So we've talked about, so far, the different types of hearers, and we've talked about why it's important for us to be good hearing. Thirdly, I want to talk about how we can improve our hearing, our ability to hear. What I've done is I've compiled five or six steps that have helped me throughout time. As a teacher, students have kind of asked me a few things, like how do I do better in class, and there's just a few other things that I've sort of picked up and I've applied. They can either work with when you're talking with individuals, or when you're actually here in the service. How can you pay attention better? How can you listen better? How can you get more out of what is being said? And these have worked for me. Some of them are pretty duh, and some of them, hopefully, maybe you can try out, and maybe it'll just be a good reminder of something you could try. So steps to better hearing. First, I think you should count hearing as a part of the worship process. I think mentally we need to realize that hearing is actually part of our worship. If you think about the amount of time that we spend listening to someone, it's about a half hour of songs, it's about a half hour of the Lord's Supper, it's about a half hour or more for the class, and it's about a half hour of a sermon. That's a lot of time that we just spend hearing. And if we just sit there and don't actually listen with an open heart, and we don't really pay attention very well, we're really not getting much out of it, and we're not necessarily giving the proper attitude for what God wants us to do. So how you listen to God's word being read or used in talks, your attitude, is just as important as your attitude in praise and prayer during a service. When you have opportunities to hear the word of God, do it with an attitude of worship. When Gerald read from Romans, you listened. We didn't get up and walk around and start mumbling about something else or talk to our neighbor. We listened to the word, and that's the attitude that we need to have to be good listeners. The proclamation of God's word deserves our full attention. Secondly, we want to listen from the first to the last. Okay, so we want to hear everything that's being said. I picture reading a book and just sort of reading a sentence here and flipping to another page, and, oh, there's another sentence, I'll read that one, and flipping to another page and reading a sentence there. That may have worked maybe in high school for those novels you read, and maybe you watched the movie afterwards or whatever happened, but that's not what we're talking about here. What you want to do is you really want to listen from first to last. So to understand, we must hear the full context of what's going on. And I think this involves both the speaker, so me right now, and you guys as well, as listeners. First off, I think speakers should follow a certain rules of speech so as to be understood. Basically, introduce your subject, present main points with some sort of support, and then conclude with some sort of summary. As it's been said here, say what you're going to say, say it, and then say what you just said. Those points are good for speakers to follow so that what they're saying is clear. Additionally, as listeners, you should be attuned to that. You should be like, okay, he said he was going to say three things. He said two of them. He's on the third one. I think we're going somewhere with this. So just the fact that you're paying attention, that you can kind of glean those points. Hopefully there's some sort of structure to what's being said. So hearers should listen for those points. Additionally, something that I try And maybe this works for you, maybe you don't do this at all, but I try to listen well enough and hear enough of the details that I can have some sort of intellectual conversation about whatever happened during these 2 hours Sunday morning. Somebody usually asks me, so what happened this weekend, what'd you do? And people talk about, you know, I went to this football game, I did this. Well, I went to church. And this is what I learned at church. And usually that'll spark some other conversation or it'll help spread the word. So I need to listen hard enough that on Monday, you know, afternoon, after all those other things that happened Monday mornings happen, I can still remember a few points. Don't just say, oh, we talked about prayer, we talked about listening, or we talked about, I don't know, he talked for a long time, I don't know what he talked about. That doesn't really help the conversation. It doesn't really help save souls. So the idea is, Monday during lunch, I usually am put to the test, did I listen well enough that I was able to glean enough points that I could talk intelligently to other people about it? So maybe that's a challenge for you to listen hard enough that you can pick up some things. So hearers must listen to all parts to truly understand. Okay. The third thing, look at the speaker. As I'm looking around, most of you, actually a few people, okay, I should pay attention now. Look at the speaker, and you guys do a great job of doing this. Generally speaking, that eye contact, though it makes me nervous right now because everyone's staring at me, is really good for you guys to focus on who is talking. You pick up a lot of on nonverbal cues, whether, you know, I don't know if I raise my eyebrows when I'm maybe kidding or joking or trying to make a point. Sometimes I do this with my hands or whatever else is going on to help make a point come true. But I think it also happens when, during class, when someone's asking a question, you can actually physically turn and look at them, it usually helps me to understand, okay, what are they saying? And I try to process, and it just helps me a lot more if I'm actually seeing what's going on. So eye contact greatly aids with concentration. You can also pick up a lot of nonverbal cues, but it also requires a great deal of self-discipline. For me, when I start looking down or playing with my fingernails or whatever else I'm doing, I lose track of what I'm supposed to be paying attention to. So that eye contact trains you to hopefully listen better. Fourth thing, I sometimes get drowsy, especially when people are droning on about listening or whatever. So sometimes I like to change my position. Sometimes I shift to the right or the left, or sometimes just leaning forward. Sometimes that leaning forward, changing my position just enough that I'm not really comfortable. We have really comfortable seats. And sometimes sitting back there, you can just be like, I'm comfortable. Sometimes if you're too comfortable, you don't pay attention as well, and you kind of drift off, and we'll see what happens this afternoon. So sometimes picking the right position helps out. Okay, maybe a little bit more serious. The fifth thing, read along with your Bible. Okay, read along your Bible. A lot of you are really good, and I try to give enough time for you guys to flip the scriptures. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, and I understand sometimes on time so I can get through things, I rush a little bit. But read along with your Bible. You've probably heard the statistics, something like you remember up to 10% of things that you read, up to 20% of things that you see, 30% of things that you hear. The same research goes on to say that you can remember up to 60% of the things that you both see and hear. So it doesn't really matter if those percentages are exact, but you do tend to remember more. You tend to be able to recall more the things that you both hear as well as see. So by simply flipping to the verse the speaker suggests and following along, your knowledge of the scriptures greatly improves. Additionally, I think this is good as we're raising Britain. I think it's good for me to be a good role model to her and to other people so that when they're flipping to scriptures, even if I know that scripture by heart, still turn to it so that I can be showing Britain and other young people around me, it's important to be flipping to the scriptures. If this person said John 3:16, I know John 3:16, I'm still going to turn there because it's good practice and I'm being a good role model for those around me. The sixth thing, if I'm counting correctly, I think I'm at six, hear with faith. It helps you to be a good listener if you can hear by faith. Listen with a willingness to accept and believe what you're shown in God's word. Sometimes you see something brand new for the first time. You're not really sure what to do with it. Instead of saying, oh, that sounds like too much work, or I don't really believe that, to really take the time and to read through it, to ask good questions about this, to see what's going on. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. imagine everyone's going to be turning there now because I just told everyone to turn their scriptures. But Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the people that were wandering the desert. And they, though they were told about things, some of them were hearing the word, but they weren't hearing it with faith. So Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So if you don't hear with faith, you have the opportunity to fall short of our heavenly rest, is what it says. The seventh thing, I think that's all, I don't know, I've lost track, is to hear with a mind ready to act. And this might be the most important point I'm making. Hear with a mind ready to act. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. During Ezekiel's time, Ezekiel had the word of the Lord. He was a prophet, and people would come to him in order to hear the word of the Lord. And it seemed like sometimes they were just coming to him for entertainment. Oh, what are you doing this afternoon? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll just go listen to Ezekiel for a while, and then maybe after that we can throw dirt. I don't know what people did back then. Throw dirt clods. I have no clue. We'll work in the field some more at something. I have no idea. But during Ezekiel's day, people would sort of hear the word, they would hear it from him, and then they'd be given a choice, just like us, whether to act or not. So Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 32. As for you, son of man, Ezekiel, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of their houses. They speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you, as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. So they come to Ezekiel, they hear the words. Well, why don't they do what they're supposed to do? It goes on. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and who can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. The idea is that people would come to him. They would hear the word of God. They'd walk away after a little while. Okay, what else you got? What else can we do? What else is going to burn up my time here on this earth? And they wouldn't do anything. Their hearts were in the right place. The people seemed to politely listen, and maybe they were entertained for a little while. They thought it was kind of neat that Ezekiel was talking in such a way. But they weren't convicted enough to actually act. They weren't convicted enough to act. To be of profit, to be in God's favor, hearing must be accompanied by action. Hearing must be accompanied by some sort of doing. On the front of your bulletin today was printed James chapter 1, verse 22. I think we all know this, but James 1, 22 says, but be doers of the word and not listeners only, deceiving yourselves. It goes on to say, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The idea is, I've spent all this time talking about the importance of hearing. Well, why? Because hearing should spark action. Hearing should spark the action in us. As important as hearing must be, the blessedness comes only by being doers as well. It's okay if you spend 2 hours here. It's better than spending 2 hours somewhere else. But if you leave and nothing has penetrated your body, nothing has penetrated your heart, nothing's penetrated your soul, to make you change and make you act like a better person or make you bear fruit, why were you here? Well, there's several reasons, but why were you here? We've talked about hearing. We've talked about different types of hearers. We've talked about different reasons why it's important to hear. And we've talked about, finally, reasons to hopefully become better hearers. So how important is hearing? When it comes to hearing God, it's very important. My last scripture, Isaiah chapter 55. I appreciate you guys bearing with me and listening to all these scriptures and turning with me and being good hearers. When it comes to hearing God's word, it's very important. Isaiah 55, verses 2 and 3. Why do you spend money on what is not bread, and your wages on what does not satisfy? That doesn't even make sense to me. Why would you spend things on things that don't satisfy? Why would you spend money on things that aren't going to feed you and satisfy you? Goes on, listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Hearing is essential for the good of your soul. You can spend your time hearing a lot of things that are in the world. There's lots of things for us to hear. There's a choice to make. What do you want to hear? What are you going to spend your time listening to? What are you going to incline your ear to? Well, God invites us. He says, incline your ear. Hear the word of God. Receive his blessings. Let your soul delight. If that's your choice today, if you have made a decision to do that, please come forward as we stand and sing number 618.